All right, you can find a seat. Isn't it good to be in church? Yeah. My name is Justin, and you have to put up with me again today. I know. Ushers, make sure you lock the doors. Make sure nobody leaves until I'm done. All right. You're stuck with me. Chris and Pam are celebrating her birthday tomorrow. Make sure you say happy birthday to Pam tomorrow, okay? Make sure you text her and let her know. Find her somehow. Call her up. And they're celebrating in Canada. Oh, Canada. Okay, so excited for them. But I get to preach to you today. And so we're starting a new sermon series. And we're talking about the blessings of the body of Christ. And so the sermon series we're going to be into. Oh, did you guys know we have some new guests with us today? All right, you haven't known that. Well, one of them, you haven't known her yet as this, but this is Star Yurton, okay? So, yeah. So, Brent and Star, would you guys stand up? They just got married. They got married 2 days ago. And they said, how do you want to celebrate your honeymoon? Well, let's go to church. And so they've been here ever since. And we want them to go, but they like it, so. So, anyway, welcome to have you guys, and excited for you both. Okay, so what was I talking about? We're starting a series, and we're talking about the church. We're talking about the purpose of the church. And the title of the series is On Mission Together. And that's not just a catchphrase, but that really kind of helps bring some definition to who we are and our goals. We have a mission. Our mission is to fulfill God's mission. What is God's mission? Well, we're going to be talking about all that, and not just doing that individually, but doing it together. We believe that God blesses that, and God has a real desire that He has actually structured it in a way that we would be on mission together. And so let's pray, and we'll open up the Bible, and we'll get started. Father, thank you this morning, Lord, that we get to be here in your church. God, thank you that you have called us as members of it, Lord, that all of us get to have a part. Lord, that there's no exclusions in your kingdom. God, we thank you, Lord, that your grace is made available to all of us who call upon you and who seek after you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, well, let's open up your Bible to 1 Corinthians 12:27. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the body of Christ, talks about spiritual gifts, talks about how all of us are part of this body. And he kind of refers to it as a human body. And so the body of Christ essentially is this, that you are a part of the body of Christ. And so 1 Corinthians 12:27 says it very simply. It says, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. So when we talk about church, we talk about you are the church, that all of us represent the church. The church is the body of Christ, and if we fail to recognize that we're a part of the body, does it mean that we're not part of the body? No, absolutely not. So Paul gives the illustration. He says, if my hand should say to my head, because I'm not the head, does it fail to be part of the body? No, it doesn't. So some of you would say, well, I'm not a significant player in the church. I'm not the preacher. I'm not out there. I'm not out in front all the time. Does that mean that you're not a part of the body of Christ? In fact, you're an essential part of the body of Christ. God talks about it in the sense that those that are weaker in the body of Christ are actually the most important, that they're the indispensable ones, the ones who don't have it all together. And they're the ones that the church covers over, the ones that the church looks out for. The rest of the body makes up for the weaknesses. And so you are a part of the body of Christ. You've been given individual gifts. You've been given an individual calling. You've been given an individual personality. All those things to contribute to the body of Christ. Okay, we all have different functions. My finger has a different function than my eardrum. We all serve a different function in the church. But what a great blessing it is to be considered a part of God's body. It's an amazing blessing that He would consider that. That He would say that, yes, you are invited, but not only you're invited, you're a part, and you are functioning, and you are called to produce fruit. And in Romans 12, 5, it says the same thing. It echoes it. It says, so you, though we are many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. So we're actually connected to one another. We have to recognize that whether we like it or not, we were born into a brand new family. You were born again the day that you became in Christ. You are a new creation. And as part of that new creation, you were born into a family of God. And you might not like that. You might not like that now you're joined to one another, but you are. And if you don't go to a local church, it doesn't mean that you're still not part of the body of Christ. The local church is the supporting structure that God has implemented to carry out his mission. But all of us are a part of the wide body of Christ. Paul says that once you were not a people. Once your identity it was in whatever you did. It was in your job. It was in your business. It was in what color you are. It was in the way that you look. It was in your level of academics. It was in whatever it was. He says that once you weren't a people, okay? You were an individual. But now you are a people. You are brand new. You are peculiar, actually. You are unique. You are the royal priesthood. Now, as a church, we're all one. One because we have one spirit that we all worship. And we're all, because of that spirit, all of us now are joined to one another. That we actually have some level of unity together, whether we like that or not. And so we have to be able to recognize that, that when we talk about church, it's not just talking about a location. Some of you enjoy online church, okay? We're not talking about church in that sense. We're not talking about any external building. We're talking about the church as in the body of Christ. And you are the church. And individually, so you maintain some individual characteristics. But we want those. We want your individual characteristics. And now you bring those to the table, and now you are part of a contributing body of Christ. But we are on mission. And so it is just, there is a tremendous blessing in being a part of the body of Christ. Sometimes we forget the benefits of being in God. It says in Scripture, it says, forget not all the blessings, all the benefits. Man, there is so much blessing as to being a part of the body of Christ. You know, when we gather together, one of my very favorite things is to listen to the Word of God. The preaching, it has power, it has significance, not because of the preacher, but because of what he's preaching through. He's preaching the Word of God. He's preaching the Holy Spirit is using the preacher. And this is something that is God ordained. God has established preachers to carry out the Word of God. And as we listen, we receive and we are blessed because of it. So the first blessing of the body of Christ is that we have the opportunity to listen to the Word. In Romans 10, 14, the writer, he brings up preachers. And he says, how then will they call on in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 tells us about the power of the Bible and how it should be used. It says, all Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So the power comes through the Holy Spirit who uses Scripture to really affect our lives. And it's useful. It changes us. It has power. How many people have noted that in your life? The power of the Word of God. If all I did was just read the Word of God today, you would be blessed. You would be tremendously blessed just because that this is the living, breathing Word of God. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, that it cuts down to the marrow. And it gets under your skin. It gets to the deepest part of your soul. And it says, this is true. And you say, I can't refute that. I can't fight that. I recognize that this is true. And it changes us. The blessing of the body of Christ. And when we gather in unity as a congregation, that it is a house of prayer. That wherever we're at, that God said that his house, when we gather, it should be called a house of prayer. I love worshiping together as the body. Man, there is just so much blessing with that. You know, the Holy Spirit, he uses those times when we put all the emphasis on him and we sing truth and we say, yes, God, Yes, I believe. And we're singing this, and the Holy Spirit is amongst us. And he's using people with their own specific gifts. Like Nicole just came up today, and she shared something that the Holy Spirit had prompted her. Nicole, was that something that you just came up with on your own? Absolutely not. It's like the Holy Spirit was saying to her, use this. This is an exhortation that I have given you. Now use it to bless the church. And so God has established his church to be a place that is pretty sacred. It's a place where you can worship and you can pray safely. I remember in youth group, we always had to maintain that. Hey, this is a house of prayer. You know, the kids from the community would come in and try to make it whatever they wanted it to become. And kids that really loved Jesus would start to feel like this wasn't a safe place any longer for me to worship. And we always had to fight that tension, say, hey, you have an agenda when you come in here, and you want to have fun, and you want to do this, and you want to do that. Okay, that's great, but our ultimate objective here is to make this a place where we worship Jesus. And we are safe here. We're safe to operate in our gifts. We want the Holy Spirit to be active. We don't want to quench any of the Holy Spirit activity. We know that without the Holy Spirit, all of this is just a religious activity. It's all empty. Every single thing that we do in Christianity has no significance without the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we welcome him and we say, yes, come in, change our lives. Yes, come in. We know what it means to be filled with the Spirit, and we love worshiping him. In Psalm 95, it talks about the gathering of people when they come and they worship God together. He says, oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Oh, I just love it. I love the noise. Some of us don't like the noise. We just want really quiet. Well, it's actually kind of biblical to like clash the cymbals together and to make a loud noise, to make a joyful noise. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. But I just want to stay quiet and meditate. Well, there's a time for that, and there's a time to celebrate, to party for who God is and for what he's done for us. And we have that opportunity every time we gather as the body of Christ. The next thing is the support that comes through the body of Christ. I'm a big fan of that. There's a tremendous amount of support and love and encouragement that comes through. And that is our purpose. Our purpose in the body of Christ is to support one another. In Ephesians 4:16, it says, the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And so every one of us, we're connected together, and we're here to help one another. We're here to support each other. We're here to help raise each other's kids. What a blessing that is for those that have kids in this kids program, that you have adults who love Jesus who want to tell kids about Jesus. They have somebody in there telling them about his missions experience so that the kids can get excited about serving God someday, serving God and maybe even going on a mission trip someday. What an amazing thing that is, that we have this here at our church, that we have Celebrate Recovery, a program that is dedicated to help bring freedom to people that are trapped in their sinful tendencies. What an amazing thing that is, that we would have people that would call you and sponsor you and say, hey, I'm here for you. We have a step study. We have a group of guys and girls that meet every single week, and they encourage one another and they build one another up. What an amazing thing it is that we have community groups in this church where we live life together and we celebrate the good and we mourn together with the bad, that we are here one another to live life together, to go through all the different challenges, the job changes, the health changes, the relationship changes. We're here for one another. The support that we have a sense of in the body of Christ can't be found in any other organization. And I can say that now because I'm becoming a part of a lot of organizations. That's why I'm the mayor, okay? Because I just join random organizations and they give me titles, okay? But there's no function, there's no family, there's no organization in the world that is like the body of Christ. Because we're here for one another. And it's an amazing thing. The amount of support a missionary has to be connected to the local church. The church, the missionary paradigm has been in the past where a missionary kind of just goes off on their own. And pretty quickly they realize their support base dries up fast. They realize that they don't have people that are praying for them, people that are giving to them and supporting them. The amount of support that the local church can generate is unlike any other organization. Now we have a lot of other organizations that are Christian, that have very particular causes, and those organizations do an outstanding job in meeting those causes. But there's nothing like the local church that can sustain even those organizations. The parachurch actually relies heavily on the local church to sustain it. But here's what I have found, is that there's so much blessing in the body of Christ. And it's important for all of us to learn this, that we all have to decide in our own hearts that I'm going to commit to being a part, an active part of the body of Christ. An active part of the body of Christ. So the real blessing of the body of Christ, it is this. It is, okay, yes, there is wonderful preaching in the body of Christ. Here we have good preaching. We have excellent preaching a lot of times. You can find excellent preachers all over the internet, though, right? You can find excellent preachers at most churches. You can join any church, or you can just attend any church on any given Sunday, and you will hear the Word of God preached, and you will be blessed. You will find churches that have outstanding worship, and you will be blessed by their worship. You can join in. You can go to a conference. You can go to pretty much a conference probably every single week, and you can have the worship experience, and you can just be totally blessed by the worship. You can find a lot of support, even outside of the body of Christ. You can find a friend group. You can find, you can make very particular, on Facebook, they have support groups for everything, okay? But there's nothing like the body of Christ. But the real blessing, with all those things in mind, is that every single one of us has to learn to commit to the body of Christ. The real blessing is only found through commitment. You see, we weren't just called to be attenders. We weren't just called to be receivers, but we were called to contribute. And that's where the real blessing comes through. I want to tell you my own personal story, okay? And I want to get vulnerable. I'm going to be talking about vulnerability here in a second. But for me, if you knew my history, I was kind of wishy-washy for a while. When I was in my early 20s, I had just come home from Colorado. Came from a church of 14,000 members. And I was doing really well at that church. But then I felt God say, Justin, I want you back here in Graham, Washington. And it was so crystal clear. I had everything lined up for me in Colorado, but I knew that God had called me back to Washington State, back to Graham, back to Cedar Springs. And I kind of even had that sense, to be totally honest, the very first time I walked in these doors when I was 17 years old. And I made a fool of myself that same day. But I had a sense of that as I walked in, that God was saying, Justin, I have a purpose for you here. And so while I was in Colorado, I kind of got swept up in being successful at this church. I was well received. I found purpose there. I found a lot of excitement, and I wanted to stay there, but I felt God saying, Justin, I want you back at Cedar Springs. And so I came home, and I thought it would be a little bit more glamorous than it was. I became the youth pastor, and I didn't really know what to do. I was full-time. They paid me $1,000 a month, which was just extraordinary amount of money. And I remember sitting in my office with my legs on the desk just like, yeah, I'm a youth pastor now. And that lasted for about a week. And then I started realizing, wow, this is actually hard work. And not only that, but here in Graham, sometimes there's not as much activity as I would have liked, as I enjoy in Colorado. And it's a lot easier to disciple interns than it is to disciple a youth student who hardly cares about Jesus. And I realized there was a lot of things that I probably didn't prefer that were here. And so I started making plans. I started making plans to go to Texas, started making plans to go to Virginia, and all these plans started kind of falling through in amazing ways. The carpet was just kind of swept out from under me. And then I made plans finally to go back to Colorado. And the carpet really got pulled out from under me. And here I was. Then I went through like 3 years of transition. And some of you guys might remember this, where I was no longer the youth pastor. I actually didn't have any role here. All I did was just attend. and I came, and I enjoyed it, and I served a little bit, but I remember having issues with so many people. I had so many issues, and I would look at people, and I'd be like, yeah, I don't like you. Yeah, and I don't like you, yeah, because of this reason. And I had some hurt that had been built up, and I wasn't committed at all. I just kind of kept my distance. And then there was a man that came here, and his name is Gary Bittner. He's from Oregon, and he shared with us a prophecy that it was like a prophetic message that he had. And he opened up to Jeremiah chapter 29, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. Because Jeremiah 29:11 has always been my very favorite verse. Some of you recognize that verse. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. And I love that verse, because here's what it meant for me, was that I just got to live this super adventurous life in Jesus, and that he was going to always help me explore and do tremendous things. But I didn't know what he was really saying to me. He was really saying this, because at the beginning of Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 8, he's talking to the Israelites that had just landed in Babylon. And these were priests, these were prophets, these were people that had been exiled out of their safe zone, out of their community where they had been thriving. And now they found themselves in this pagan land without any real hope, without any real purpose. And God was saying to these people, he was saying, don't worry, for I know the plans that I have for you. He says, you will stay here 70 years. But here's what he says to them in Jeremiah 29. He says, so this is what I want you to do. I want you to build homes. I want you to establish farms. I want you to marry. I want you to live in this land. I want you to be concerned about this land and bring peace to this city. I want you to establish yourself here, and then you will be blessed. And all of a sudden it hit me. Wow, I've been wishy-washy with my commitment to the body of Christ, and I haven't really found a home. I've been wanting to go here and wanting to go here and enjoying parts of this and enjoying parts of that. And God was saying to me, Justin, you know that I've called you right here. And I just made that commitment right then. I said, okay, God, man, my life is yours. I'm tired of trying to do my own thing. And I just commit to this body. And it was like God just made this huge transformation in me. And God started bringing fruit in my life. And all of a sudden it was like, all those things that I had desired started following me. I started finding opportunity for ministry. I stopped holding all these grudges against people because I said, I'm committed to you, and I'm committed to the cause, and I'm committed to this body. And God started working just tremendous wonders in my life. And now you can see sort of where God has brought me all along, and I always point it back to this moment when I said, okay, yes, God, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know how I ended up here, but it was something that you called me to. And so, God, I pray that I would be able to commit. And since then, I'm telling you, my personal witness is that I have just been tremendously blessed through that. So here's what I want to talk about. I want to talk a little bit about commitment and what that actually requires of us, because commitment is a word that lots of times we like to shy away from. Okay, we want to be a church attender, but we don't want to be a church committed person. Committed member of it. So here's a commitment would require of us for any local church that we would consider ourselves a part of. The first thing is it requires vulnerability. It requires us to be vulnerable. We have to open up our lives. Some of us, we want to be a part of the church and part of the body of Christ, yet we also want to maintain super privacy. We don't want anybody in our business. We don't want anybody in our homes. We don't want anybody knowing about what's going on in my family. We have our barbed wire fences and our no trespassing signs and our Rottweilers and our dogs. Our Rottweilers. And, you know, close to my house, there's actually a sign that says, trespassers, and it's spelled completely wrong. It says, trespassers will be shot, okay? So don't even step foot on their land or you'll get shot, all right? So we love our privacy. We love that. But yet we still want to be a committed member of the local church. And I'm telling you, if you want to be a committed member of the local church, you have to open up your lives. You have to open up your homes. You have to become a part. You have to be willing to receive instruction. You have to be willing to be corrected. You have to be willing to share. In Acts 2:46, this is the early church, and it says, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. What did they do? They opened up their homes, their most personal space. And they said, yeah, come on in. Come on in. We welcome you. Well, we need to not only do that with our physical home, but lots of us need to do that with our life. We try to wear this mask that says, no, I'm good. Oh, praise you, brother. Man, Jesus is so right on, and I love him. And when really, all the while, there's all kinds of sickness going on inside of our hearts. And it requires that we're vulnerable with those things, that we say, okay, yeah, I'm going to find some people at this church that I trust. I'm going to find some people within the body of Christ that I can open up to. You know, how many people would enjoy having an accountability partner, somebody who held you accountable? All right, well, I'll tell you what, there's no accountability without vulnerability. You can have an accountability partner and still totally live in a private life because you determine how vulnerable you're going to become. Well, my accountability partner never calls me, never asks me questions. Well, how aggressive are you about making yourself vulnerable? I'm telling you, I've never had people. When people ask me those questions, I usually don't answer anyways. I have to learn to make myself vulnerable. And that's hard. But there's a time and a place for that. It's not like we're expecting everybody on Sunday morning when you say, when we greet them at the door, hey, how you doing? Oh, okay, that's probably not the best time. But there are a lot of times, private times, friends, people that we can trust, our community groups, people that we can open up to and that we have time to pray for. Vulnerability requires us to say, yeah, I have some things in my life. You know, we have altar calls here occasionally. I would like to do them more. But oftentimes we'll have an altar call and we'll say, hey, if you want prayer, would you come forward? And God is speaking to some people, but because they don't want to show any sign of weakness, they prefer to just stay in their seat. Because if anybody sees them up front, people are going to have questions. Like, whoa, why is Harry up here? I'm trying to think of a name that nobody at our church has. What's he doing up there? Did you know that Harry has that issue? I didn't know. You know, we're worried about that. What is the appearance going to be? Well, in order to be a committed member of the body of Christ, you have to open up your life. And you have to say, man, I'm an open book. And that's a scary thing. But let's look at the life of Jesus. Jesus made himself so vulnerable. Here he was, comfortable, the Son of God, came down from heaven, lived among men, knowing that he was going to be betrayed, knowing that he was going to be rejected, knowing that not one person at one point was going to be next to his side when he's experiencing the greatest trial. He made himself so vulnerable. He knew full well what was going to happen. He knew the hurt. He knew all that stuff that was going to come his way. And he said, hey, I love the people, and so I'm willing to open up my life, to share life with these disciples, to get really intimate and really close, even with Judas. Judas, we oftentimes alienate Judas. Judas was one of his best friends. Judas was by his side all the time. He shared life with Judas, knowing full well what Judas was going to do to him. Yet he chose to be vulnerable. Commitment, it requires grace, okay? Sometimes I think we can make a reality television show about church. All right, I think there is one coming up, actually. Yeah, it just got released. And we can make a reality TV show about the church because, let's be honest, we have some drama, okay, on occasion. But here's what happens when you get people together. What usually stirs up? Drama. Okay, what usually stirs up? Contention. What usually stirs up? Disputes and dumb arguments and offenses and hurts. And that's just because we're people. And it's bound to happen. And the closer we get, the more that stuff will come up. Think about your last couple of family gatherings, okay? What usually happens at a family gathering, right? There's lots of opportunity for that stuff because you're so close. You know each other so well. Yeah, we have to learn to have grace for one another. Colossians 3:13 says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. So when we're interacting with people, the slightest thing can set us off. We say, yeah, I'm not going to commit to that church because this person says that. Because the preacher said this. Last week I told people I don't like to pray for them. I'm surprised anybody came back. Yeah. Thank you for giving me grace, because I didn't really mean that. It just came out funny. But here's what we do sometimes. We look for the perfect conditions when we want to be a part of a church. I'll join that church. I'll become a part of that body as long as the conditions are just perfect. Okay? And did anybody go to the U.S. Open? I went to the U.S. Open. I was invited by a friend, so I had a free ticket. And I'm not really a golf guy, okay? And I've been golfing maybe 5 times in the last 5 years, if that. And, I mean, I would enjoy it if you invite me. I'll go, okay? But I'm not, like, a huge golf fanatic. And so I went to the U.S. Open. I thought, hey, this sounds like fun. And so I went there, and it was blazing hot. And it was the most miserable day, okay? It was, like, 100 degrees or something. It felt that way. And visibility was terrible over there at Chambers Bay. I thought, why is anybody here? And yet there was, like, tens of thousands of people that were there. And you couldn't see any of the golfers and the crowds. Like, I just wanted to see a couple golfers, Bubba Watson and Phil Mickelson, and I heard that they were coming, so I waited in this one spot for like 20 minutes just for them to come, and I was like 4 people deep, so I could like just barely see them, and everybody's like, oh, Bubba, oh, you know, and I thought, this is the silliest thing, but I thought, okay, well, thinking back on it, maybe if I had like VIP status, I would probably be a lot more interested, and maybe if it was at a different golf course where the visibility was a lot better, and maybe the crowds weren't quite so big, and maybe I had free access to those diners and those restaurants that were over there at the U.S. Open. Maybe if they gave me some more free stuff, then I'd probably be a big U.S. Open fan. I'd probably go to every golf tournament if I was treated that way. But here's the thing. We do that with the body of Christ. We say, hey, I'll become a part of it as long as it meets all these conditions. And yet, really, there was all these golf devoted fans that didn't really care about that stuff. They were just so thrilled to be there. And that's why I want to be with the body of Christ. I don't want to be so demanding of perfection. I don't want to be so caught up in, was the music too loud this week? Was all these details just perfectly in place? Did everything happen just as I would want it? Did people talk to me just the way I want them to talk? I want to be able to give enough grace to be able to allow for people's faults, to be able to allow for the faults of the local church. Because I'll tell you what, you will go to a perfect church and you will quickly realize that they are very imperfect. Because even the best looking church, the one that just excites you, that just makes you feel most vibrant, the closer you get, the longer you've been there, you realize that they have just as many faults as your last church, or just as many faults maybe as you. Because you're a human and the church is led by humans. But we need to learn to have grace for one another. Amen? Just as God forgives us. Thank God that He doesn't hold our little faults against us, our little quirks, all our shortcomings. All right, next is this. You have to, in commitment, it requires investment. Selfless investment. Man, we have a lot of people here that give so much to this church, to this body. I mean, we have people that clean every single week here. Did you know that? Did you know that there's actually somebody that volunteers their time? A couple of them that come and pick up and clean, scrub toilets and empty garbages, mop the floors, pick up your garbage, do all that, and nobody ever even knows. Did you know that there's some people here that are here at like 7 o'clock every single Sunday morning getting ready for the service? They're all volunteer. And they're all committed to serving in the body of Christ. It's our worship team. Every single Sunday, 7 a.m., I'm barely getting out of bed. And these guys are here because they're committed. They're investing. We have others that have been given the gift of generosity, and they give a lot of money into the kingdom of God. We have others that give their talents. We have people that are very uniquely gifted, and they recognize that, and they apply it. We have teachers that apply their gift of teaching. We have servants, and it's this that follows. Our heart will follow our investment. It says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So how do we invest into the body of Christ? We invest with our times, our talents, and our treasures. So what does that look like? Well, it means that I have to give of my life, probably more than I want to give. Real generosity is kind of more than just a standard. Real generosity is this expression of following Christ's example of generosity. He who gave everything on our behalf. We follow that. We say, yes, God, he gave his very own life for the sake of others because he considered others as more significant. And so because of that, my life now is about serving the body of Christ. It's about being generous, loving people. It's about opening up my home again for community groups, opening up who I am as a person. Paul says that he's pouring himself out as a drink offering to the church. He's sacrificing his very own life for the cause of the church. He endured all these troubles, shipwrecks and sicknesses and imprisonments and being stoned and being beaten to death or near death. All for what? For the sake of the church. For the sake of the church, because he knew that God's bride is worth it. So we have to invest. If there's no, let's think of this just in terms of a relationship. If you don't invest in any relationship, how long does that relationship last? All right, it doesn't last very long. All right, it needs to be a mutual investment. There needs to be some reciprocation. There needs to be give and take. And if we're always just expecting others to give, others to contribute, others to invest, and all I'm going to do is just soak that up, that relationship won't last very long. It doesn't work. We're not built that way. Mutual investment. The last point, commitment, it requires a calling. It requires a calling. We have to be so resolute in this that God has called us to the body of Christ, that we have become a new person, that when you were born again, that you were adopted into a family, that you were sown, that you were grafted into the body of Christ, that no longer are you what does it say? Let's look at the word. It says here in 2 Peter 1:10, it says, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. So we have to understand that the Bible also talks about how in the body of Christ, there's no longer slave or free. There's no longer male nor female. There's no longer Jew nor Greek. There's no longer black or white. You are now defined by who you are in Christ. And as a part of being in Christ, you are part of his body. Let's bring it all the way back to that. And you have to maintain that. You have to say, yeah, times are tough, but I know that I'm called to the body of Christ. Yeah, I was hurt last week, or I was hurt by what this person said or what this person did to me. But you know what? I'm called to the body of Christ, and that keeps me committed. It's just like the vows that you made with your spouse before God. That keeps you committed. You know that before God, you made this covenant. And you said, yeah, through sickness and in health and all these things that I'm going to stick with this person. And you know that that is what keeps you continuing to go. Because marriage isn't always pretty. No relationship is. And in a church, it's not always pretty. There's a lot of hiccups, to put it lightly. But man, I'm committed because I know that God has called me and I'm resolute in being an active, contributing member of the body of Christ. And it's not anything that I want to do. Just as Nicole said, some of us need to learn to just sacrifice our life. And God has been actually working on me in this very own area. And he's saying, hey, Justin, yeah, this is your body. This is your body. My tendency is to want to isolate. My tendency is to want to hide. My tendency is to want to live my own life, pursue my own dreams, use my talents however I want to use them. But I know that God has called me to the body of Christ. And I find myself here again saying, okay, God, what does that look like? Lord, would you just use me? Would you use me to serve others, to make disciples? And I think all of us today kind of need to consider that. We need to consider our level of commitment to the body of Christ. We need to see, hey, where am I at? Where am I at in this whole thing? Have I been really private in my life? Have I not been vulnerable? Have I not been continually investing? Okay, you invested a long time ago. but our heart seems to follow where our current investment is. Am I continuing to invest into the kingdom of God, into the body of Christ? Do I still have hurt or resentment or bitterness towards someone in the body of Christ? Because I need to let that go. Do I have it towards another church, and now I'm bringing that into this church? Because I need to let that go. Have I forgiven everyone as Christ has forgiven me? We have to consider these things, and let us look to Christ's example. In Philippians 2, Jesus, it says this. Let's read it together in Philippians 2. It talks about imitating Christ's humility. Living a life that reflects Christ. And if he did it, we ought to do the same. It says this, I'm reading out of the New King James Version in Philippians 2. It says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let esteem each other as better than himself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. And then it talks about Christ. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, that who Jesus, being in the very form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. So God himself obeyed. God himself submitted. God himself said, okay, this life is not my own, but I'm going to submit and I'm going to obey my Father. And he became man just like us. And so I want to encourage you today. You would say, yeah, I recognize that my life is not just about me. It's not just about my own family. But I'm a connected part of the body of Christ. And I want to be an active member. And I want to serve. I want to be a part of this. And some of us need to ramp into that. And I want to encourage you that that'll probably come through a community group. It'll probably come through a community group. We have some other ministries that you are always invited to. Celebrate Recovery on Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. You can come serve at Harvest House every single Saturday. Anybody can come. Some people lately have been bringing their kids and giving their kids that experience. That's Saturday morning at 9 a.m. By the way, we have community groups happening this week. Come to Holy Spirit Day. Learn to open yourself up to what the Holy Spirit might do in your life. Man Camp is coming up. It's at the end of the month. We need at least 12 guys from our church. I need 12 men who are saying, yeah, I'm going to make it happen. Some of you wives are making your husbands go, and I appreciate that about you wives. Because if you don't make them, I'm going to make them, okay? But there's a lot of ways to get involved, to get plugged in right away. We have a Connect card. And on the Connect card, it says next steps on it. And it says get engaged in a ministry. Learn more about community groups, whatever it might be. And if God is saying something like that to you and you would like more information on how to get connected, would you just write something down? If God is doing something in you at all, would you write something down on that Connect card? You say, yeah, I want to be a part of the body of Christ. Or I have questions maybe about what this church is about who we are, what are our values, what's our vision statement, what's our doctrine. You have questions like that because we want commitment. We want commitment in the body of Christ. So that we can serve together, so that we can be one function on mission. And we have a goal. We have a goal to see all of our area come to Jesus. And we're on mission, and we're going there, and I want you to see yourself as a part of that mission. So if you would write something of that nature down on the Connect card, let's get the worship team to come on up here, and we'll close out the service. Back to the vulnerability. All right, hey, you can stand if you are done with your Connect card. You can stand up and we'll worship. We'll sing a song here. There's something to be said, though, about just making your life open. And it starts probably with saying, yeah, I'm going to be open before God. I'm going to be honest with God. I'm going to stop trying to hide myself. What did Adam and Eve do in the garden after they sinned? They immediately tried to cover themselves and they hid from God. So first off, we just have to learn to be honest with God. say, yeah, this is where I'm at, God. I have questions. I have hurts. I have some mistakes that I've made. I've had a hard time plugging in. And I'll tell you what, God will work miracles through that. Just from that very first step of you saying, okay, God, I need you. God, come into my life and being more open to Him. That's where it all begins. So let's sing this worship song, and would you open yourself up to God, and then we'll collect the connect cards right after this.